Our first lesson's from Colossians. Here, Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Follow along, if you will, in your own Bibles, the pew Bibles, or simply in your hearing, but receive with open hearts the Word of God. Paul writes, Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. The word of the Lord, my friends.
Lord, my shepherd.
As we turn our attention, as we continue in the worship of God, friends, join with me. Join with me over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, for the first couple of verses. Again, receive the word of God. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Here we go. You still with me? Okay. I guess maybe I'm trying to get back into it, right? That's what happens when you take a week off. Well, friends, if you've been around for a little while, you know that earlier this month, I've been thinking about images of running. For instance, why I was not running for president. And then about running after the grateful spirit of gratitude, right? Which is something the world seems to be running away from. but thankfulness, we know thankfulness is so important, and certainly something we should pursue. But today, I want to talk about the destination of our running. Where I am running. You kind of need to have an idea of where you're headed, right? I think that's probably useful. People out there on the road or on the trail or on the path may or may not have a good sense of where they are headed. Back in my Hamden, Sydney days, my group of friends and I used to go running out in the woods at night. And actually kind of try to get lost and figure out how to get back. Well, I'm looking back, and that's probably not the brightest idea. Nobody ever got hurt. But, you know, those experiences did kind of lend to stories. And, it's possible that there are creatures of myth and legend out there in the woods of Hanman, Sydney. We saw some things that didn't make sense. But other people, of course, have more interesting ideas on running or going this way and that. Neil Armstrong, of course, who made it to the moon and back, had more trouble at home when he remarked that, "I believe that the good Lord gives us a finite number of heartbeats, and I'll be darned," and he might not have used the word darned, "if I'm going to give up mine running up and down a street." Others, of course, find the exertion of running to be taxing. Milton Berle shared, "My doctors told me that running could add years to my life. I think he was right. I feel 10 years older already." I think that actually kind of makes sense. The average Joe may or may not have heard the advice of 20th century writer Franklin P. Jones, who said, "The trouble with jogging is, by the time you realize you're not in shape for it, it's too far to walk back." That actually makes sense too. Who wants to get out there, right? And go without some sense of where they're headed or how they're going to get home? People run for the sake of running, but there's always a destination. Not having a destination can get you in trouble. When I used to ride my bike out at what used to be Fort Pickett, I would get confronted at the gate and turned away if I didn't have an expressed destination. Eventually, I was told to make one up. But that, I didn't like that idea. That just didn't seem right. That was silly for someone out there to ride where they have bike lanes on a place that's open to the community. But it was very important for them to know where I was going because, you know, I looked like a terrorist. Oh, where are we going, friends? Where are we going? Well, hopefully Jesus. Hopefully he is where we are headed. It is stunning to me that 2,000 years later and half a world away, we can make our goal Jesus of Nazareth. He really is our true goal, isn't he? From John 14 and Jesus being the way to God to the early followers of Jesus calling themselves the people of the way, long before there were any Christians, Jesus from the beginning considered himself, life in him, a journey. He is at the heart of where we are going. I just didn't understand this when I was younger. Sure, we talked about God and we learned theology and Bible at church, but it was never really explained to me just that simply. It's all about Jesus. He is our life in God. He is God in our life. He is as much one of us as he is also God with us. It's a beautiful notion to have the love of God walking and talking and sharing in life with God's children. In the Garden of Eden, God walked and talked and as the song describes. And in Revelation, after the great wedding of the Lamb, God remains here and heaven is here and God will be with us forever in Christ. For now, our whole objective is to follow in Jesus' footsteps. But that might be where we get tripped up. When Paul is describing Jesus in chapter 1 of Colossians, he's using some big ideas and some bigger truth. He's describing a Savior that is hard to imagine, let alone to relate to. On the one hand, people flock to Jesus because he was right there, holding their hands, touching them in their diseases, sharing meals with the hungry, embracing those who were lost and little and alone. He was the most relatable person you could have ever met, even if he was hard to understand sometimes and spoke in ways that were tricky with those stories. But people were drawn to him, from the young to the old, from the sick to the well. Even the self-righteous couldn't stay away. But Paul's description brings Jesus to a whole nother place before time and space. Cosmic Jesus is the one who brought all things into existence, and through him all things are reconciled to God. He is our hope and our salvation. He is the hope and the salvation of everything. But looking for that hope and salvation is really our pressing job today. I'm reminded of this every time I go to visit Carolyn. I feel like there is so little that I can do for her. And it weighs on my heart to see her struggling and not being able to chat as we have done before. I so wish that my prayer could just make things right then and there. I wish reading brightened her heart, but it is hard to tell. I wish holding her hand was a comfort, but sometimes it seems to be painful. She deals with a lot of pain. I wish I could be the help I want to be. But if we are in Christ, it's not about you or me. If there is no other destination, no other goal, then it is down to what I can do. It's not down to what I can do or accomplish. Excuse me. I have to remember that my presence can be a part of the presence of Christ. My presence can be part of the presence of Jesus. I have to remember that whatever sharing we have is a sharing in Christ. I have to remember that Jesus is there. Jesus is there in that room with us if we dare to gather in his name. And Jesus is the one person we absolutely need to have there. Our Lord and Savior is able to cradle her in his arms and love her into greater life. Our brother and friend is there connecting our hearts in his and giving us sacred space to know God's love, even as she nears the end of her earthly walk in such a difficult way. There's nothing easy about this. She struggles. We struggle. Even God struggles in our suffering because God knows what it is like to hurt too. God hurts for all of us. God struggles all through the Bible with frustration and anger and betrayal. God struggled on a cross. Jesus knew what it was like to be poor, hungry, hunted, and tortured. You better believe God knows what it means to hurt. You better believe God knows what it means to suffer. If there's anybody we need in that room with us, it's Jesus. He is the one who begins our journey and ends our journey. In Hebrews 12, that word pioneer is more than just someone wandering around in the Wild West. It's a leader who's able to take us to new places. He begins the new path and has the ability to make that happen. He is the Alpha, the first among us, the one we can follow with confidence. He's also the perfecter of us all. That word is the other extreme. He's the one who finishes everything completely. He is the Omega who comes after and makes sure that we don't lose anyone or anything. He's the one that finishes what we have started and brings all things to God's perfect completion. This is a beautiful picture of Jesus that stays with us when all other pictures fade away. This is the image of Jesus we draw from David's Psalm 23, who leads us like that good shepherd that Pierce was just singing about. He leads, protects, and when someone tries to get lost, he goes after them. Jesus is the best of the best. He is the greatest thing in this world, and it's so easy to love our shepherd and king. He makes those days by the bedside worthwhile and meaningful. He picks up our failures, our losses, our brokenness, and our weakness, and he still brings something beautiful in his grace. Today is my favorite church holy day because there's nothing more precious to me than finding my value in the risen King. He takes the mess of my life and creates treasure. He holds all of us and he says that we are precious. He is our life, our way, our goal, and our friend. We are truly blessed, friends, to be in the Spirit of our Jesus. To God be the glory. Amen.